Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is great to be here with you this morning. A couple weeks ago, I intended on preaching, and then God said, no, you're sick, go home. And so I am excited to be here with you today to share God's word with you and grace and peace to you this morning. I hope this season is treating you well. Listening to Anthony, I just learned something new that the Lord, otherwise known as Brandon, told him not to do peace this week. Did I hear that right? Did everyone else? I'm just like, wow, that's good. We're looking at the Christmas story, and today we're going to talk about Mary. And what I want to talk about is the fact that God has a call for our lives. He calls us into different things, into following Him. And sometimes it is crazy, and it doesn't make sense. And throughout the years, God has been calling people to follow Him and to do things that are always sometimes shocking. If you ever want some evidence of that, just read through the Old Testament and what the Old Testament prophets had to do. It was crazy. I'm so thankful I'm born today. But I was thinking through the years and different people. Chuck Colson was a man who worked with the Nixon administration, and he was his hatchet man. So he was a big part of the Watergate system. And so as everything fell down, he knew he was going to go to prison. And in a meeting with somebody, he shared with them the stories of the writings of C.S. Lewis. Chuck Colson became a Christian. He came to faith in Christ. He said, Lord, man, I see what you've written. That's great. If you can do anything, I would love to not go to prison. So Chuck went to prison for 7 months, and he didn't want to be there. He wanted to stay as far away from it. But Lord, I'm following you. Do whatever you want. And so God used him, got him out of prison after 7 months, and then used Chuck to develop one of the greatest prison ministries that we've known. Lord, I don't want to go to prison. That's funny, Chuck, because I'm going to keep sending you back there. But it's the way he works. I remember when God was calling me into ministry, and I didn't know everything that was going on. I didn't understand everything, but I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll follow you. I understand. I'll do whatever you want. Lord, I don't want to be a teacher, and I don't want to teach history. So we can see how well that's worked out so far. But I remember visiting my Uncle Steve in El Centro, and I was like, Lord, please never send me to this God-forgotten place. And so far, fingers crossed. Whew, thank you, Lord. Third person, David Wilkerson, was a man, a pastor and preacher in New York. He grew up in a family of preachers. His grandfather and his father were both preachers in Pennsylvania. And he followed suit, and he said, that's where God is calling me. That's where God is leading me. And so he followed God into that thing, and one day he read an article, and he knew that God was calling him into a ministry. And he said, David, I want you to go to New York, and I want you to preach the gospel to gangsters and to drug addicts and to prostitutes. You know, all the people we want to fill our churches with, right? But the very people that Jesus died on the cross for. And so David went to New York. He left the comfort of what he knew and went to New York, not knowing what was going to happen, what was the outcome going to be, how would people treat him, would they even receive his message about the good news of the gospel. But he went and he followed God because that's where God was leading him. The Christmas story is full of surprises. Like many of you who came in wanting to sit at a table today and they're not out. Surprise! The Christmas story is full of surprises as well. And people were expecting God to do something. There was this expectation, that's what Advent is, that God was going to bring the Messiah, but nobody dreamed that it would come about the way that it did or the way that God did things. God didn't go outside of the box of what everybody thought. He said, there's no box. This is how I'm going to do it. And so we're talking about Mary, who's going to be the mother of God's child, the mother of the Messiah. And like many, Mary probably had hopes and dreams that maybe one day she would give birth to a son who would raise up and bring Israel back to prominence and raise up the kingdom of Israel again. That was an expectation of some of the young women, that maybe God would use them. But she never expected how God was going to do things. And so that's what we want to talk about today. And just kind of as we understand the story and just some context, I want you to remember that God had constantly been telling people what he's going to do, that he's going to bring Messiah, that he's going to shake things up, that he's going to bring in a ruler of his kingdom, there will be no end. But then since the prophet Malachi, about 400 years before Jesus, God went radio silent. And he didn't talk to people. He was still interacting, but he wasn't communicating. And so for 400 years, people have been wondering, okay, God, what next? What do you want us to do? And then out of the blue, angels are popping up all over the place. Zechariah, right before our passage today, The husband of Elizabeth is visited by an angel. Joseph is visited by an angel. Mary is visited by an angel. All these things are going on. And as the angel appears to Mary, he says, "Man, I have great news for you." But you'll see that Mary is a little bit caught off guard by that. And she doesn't know what to do with it. And it doesn't make sense and definitely doesn't fit into the plan that she had for her life and what she wanted. And so that's what we want to kind of talk about today. The Christmas story, God's Christmas story reminds us that God's ways are different than our ways and his plans are different than our plans. And so our bottom line for today that I want you to think about is this, that Jesus' birth invites us to turn our fears and our confusion into faith and following. The birth of Jesus invites us to take our fears and confusion and turn those things into faith and following. And so as we read through Mary's story and hear God's invitation to her, I pray that you hear God's invitation to you as well. That you would take your fears, your anxieties, your burdens, your worries, and that you would cast those things on him. He's inviting you to let him carry those things for you, that you would follow him in faith. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to read from Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. So if you wouldn't mind standing with me as we get ready to read. I want to pray for our time this morning, and then we will read God's word for the day. Lord God, I thank you. You are an awesome God and an amazing God. You do things far outside of our comprehension or understanding sometimes. And yet even in the midst of that, where we might have misunderstandings, God, you are still always there and faithful. And we see that with Mary, and we've seen that throughout our lives. And so God, would your words come alive to us today? Would you, your spirit just speak to us and affirm with us your love for us and your invitation to come and follow you and to lay all of our burdens and joys and fears and worries at your feet. God, thank you for that invitation. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power in all things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And this is God's word for this morning. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Amen. You can have a seat, church. What a story. Man, there's so many neat things that go on in talking with Joseph and what happened there. And last week, Brandon talking about the shepherds and the way God directed them and led them and guided them. He's doing so many things. And here he shows up to Mary and just has this great news for her. "Greetings, O favored one who has found favor with the Lord." And Mary's response, it says she's troubled. And so kind of our first point, I want you to see, what is Mary going through? She's fearful. She's worried. She's anxious. Pick your word. Write all three down. I don't care what you do. But Mary's like, "Well, wait a minute. What's going on here? I'm not sure I know about this." And so the angel appears and calls out, "Greetings." And I wonder when I read this story, how did the angel appear to Mary? Did he just walk up in the form of the man? "Hey, Mary." "What? Hey, God." You know, did he just poof? Was he right there? What happened? Was he on the ground? Was he floating in the air? Right? Like, all those things would lead to like, yeah, I'd be troubled too if someone just started poof. Someone's floating in the air and they're talking to me. I'd be like, a trouble doesn't even begin to the words that I'd be feeling right then at that point. But we don't know any of those answers. We just know that the angel showed up and spoke to Mary. And we know that Mary was caught off guard. The Bible says she was troubled. And was she troubled at the words of his greeting? Was she troubled at his appearance in the words? We don't know everything. It's not made clear. But the next words from the angels lets us know exactly kind of where Mary is at. What does troubled mean? Do not be afraid, Mary. What is Mary feeling? Afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary. Mary was afraid. She was fearful. She was confused. What's going on? Why is he talking to me, of all people? What did I do? I didn't ask for any of this. And we all have fears. We all have worries. We all have anxieties, right? Last week, the women had just a wonderful Christmas program in here, and it was great. And I got to sit in the back and do sound, was just blessed by all the things. And Rebecca had a great message. It just helped me like reshape my thinking about Christmas. But in getting ready for that event, we had some people here on Friday night to get the church ready and to clean things up. And so we got here, and the church wasn't open. And when I got here, I figured someone else will bring the keys, so I don't need to bring mine. Wrong. And so we had to call Sabrina up and make sure she brought her keys. But there's something you need to know. If you haven't been to the church at night, the parking lot gets dark. Really dark. Scary dark. Right? And so we're waiting out there, and eventually Sabrina shows up, and we start doing things, and we're cleaning things, and then Rebecca comes up to me and says, "Hey, someone just drove up to the trash cans and is throwing trash away." And I'm like, "So?" I look out there to the trash cans. I'm like, I can't even see the trash. That's how pitch black it is right now. I can't even see the trash cans and what's going on. It's crazy. And you never know who's just going to show up to a stranger's property and throw trash in their trash can. And how are they going to react if you go confront them about it? So I'm like thinking in my head, "Well, you should go do something about that, Rebecca." Because it's pitch black over there. If I go over there and confront them, I can get stabbed or beaten, and nobody would know because you can't see anything, and it's just right there. And so I'm thinking to myself, it's dark. It's scary. I don't want to go confront some sociopathic serial killer that's probably disposing of his 14th body in our trash can. I'm going to be number 15. And so I girded my loins. I said my final farewells to the group. Told them to tell my family I love them, and I headed off to the abyss. And it all worked out. I'm still here, and maybe I'm being a little overdramatic, but it was scary. It was dark. I was going into the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen, and I didn't like it. I was afraid. And we all have fears. What are you afraid of? What causes your gut to tie up in knots and anxiety and worry? What consumes you? Maybe you're afraid of spiders or heights or the dark. Maybe you're afraid of what the future holds. Am I going to be able to support my family and provide for them in a way that's good? Maybe you're afraid that you can't live up to people's expectations and that you're going to be a disappointment to them. Or maybe you're afraid that people are going to see through the charade that you've built to look like such a good person, but if they really knew who you were, they would reject you. Or maybe you're afraid that if God really knew who you were, he would want nothing to do with you. We all have fears. We all have things that we're afraid of. And I love the angel doesn't just come and say, "Don't be afraid, Mary." He gives a reason why. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." I'm telling you what to do, and I'm telling you why. Don't be afraid because you have found favor with God. And I was looking that up, and that word for favor with God is only used twice in the New Testament. It's used here when the angel's talking to Mary, and it's used in Ephesians chapter 1. And in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes this to the church. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has favored us, blessed us in the beloved." That's the only other time. Those are the two times that word is used. Don't be afraid, Mary. God has shown favor to you. Church, don't be afraid, because in all God's plans and all his blessings for you, he has chosen to favor you. The Christmas story reminds us that we all have fears. We all have things that we don't understand. But in that, God is a God of favor and grace. Amen. Don't be afraid, Mary. And through God's grace, we are blessed and we are favored too. And it's not because of anything we've done. It's not because of anything Mary's done. God just shows up in his great power and mercy and gives her his blessings. David in Psalm 55, King David writes this, and I love it. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden on him and he will sustain you. Two things. You're going to have burdens. If you don't know that yet, your eyes aren't open yet. You probably know that more too much than we want to know. We all have burdens, and God says, cast those things to me and let me sustain you. Let me show my favor to you. Do you have fears? Do you have worries? Do you have anxiety? You're not alone, because Mary felt those things too, but God invites us to give those things to him so that he can sustain us. The Christmas story reminds us to take our fears and to give those to God that he would sustain us. Next thing I want you to see in the story of Mary is there's some confusion going on. And I want you to picture this. You go to a building in the business district and you walk in and the people at the front desk are like, oh, good, you're here. They've been waiting for you. And they're super excited and they take you and they get you in the elevator and they whisk you up to the 27th floor and they bring you to the conference room and there's three people in business attire sitting there and they stand up and they're so excited and they shake your hand like your arm's going to fall off and everything. And they have you sit down. They're like, man, we are so excited that you're here. You are the exact person we want. We've been watching you and we think everything is great. Hey, we want to offer you a contract here. And this is what we want to offer you. We think you're the employee that's just going to change things around for us. We want to start out giving you $10 million a year, and every year we're going to give you at least a 10% increase. We want to pay full medical, dental, all your insurance for the rest of your life, for you and your family. We're going to move you into this mansion over here. We're going to pay for it. We're going to pay for your move. We're going to pay for all the landscaping and all the repairs and everything that will ever need to happen on that house while you're in it. We're going to pay to get you a personal chef and a personal trainer to make sure that you're healthy. We're going to take care of you. And on top of that, we want to offer you 12 weeks of paid vacation a year. And you look at them and go, but I don't work here. Well, you would sign that contract in an instant, wouldn't you? Like, sure, I got that. I don't know who you are. And that's Mary. Mary, I've got some great things for you. God is going to do all these things. And this is what the angel says. You're going to have a son, and not just any son, the Son of God. And he will be called Son of the Most High. He will carry on the throne of David. He will make the rule over the house of Israel last forever and ever. This is the promised Messiah that God has been talking about for years. Right. I haven't done anything to get pregnant. Mary, did you hear what the angel just said? And she didn't hear what the angel just said. Mary couldn't see God's plans. She could only see the problems. She didn't focus on the promises of God. She zeroed in on the practical things. I hear you, but it doesn't make sense. I'm confused. And it can't be right. So, you know, typically this is the way marriages worked back in the first century, especially in Israel. There are three stages to the marriage. The first stage was called the engagement stage. And this was not the dating stage and we get to find out who one another is in love. No, the families, the fathers get together and say, we're going to put our kids together. Woo! And this is how much we're going to pay for it. And so our kids are going to get engaged. And so the families arranged the marriage and they got engaged. The second stage, and this is where Mary is at, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph, is the betrothal. And so what happens in the betrothal, there's a small ceremony, and the two, the husband and wife, have this ceremony, and they commit to one another faithfulness, complete faithfulness, and it can't be broken. The only way that a betrothal can be broken is through a divorce, but they're not married. They're betrothed. It's like married, but it doesn't have all the benefits, I guess. I don't know. So that's the betrothal, and that's where Mary's at. And after that ceremony, the groom heads off to go build a house for he and his wife and will return later to bring her back to where they're going to live for the rest of their life. And it could be a year, it could be longer, which usually took at least a year. When the groom returned back, he took his bride to that place where they're going to live, and that's where they had the marriage ceremony, and they were going to be married. And so when the angel says, Mary, I've got great news for you. You're going to give birth to God's son. And she's thinking, how is this going to work? Because Joseph and I, he's not even here. He's probably off building a house. And we haven't done anything to get pregnant. And what is Joseph going to think when he comes back to get me and I've got a big belly and it's not from overeating? Is he going to accept me then? What's going to happen? And all Mary could see is the problems and the practical rather than the promises of God. And she was confused. And she didn't understand. Has life ever thrown you a curveball that left you confused? Has God ever thrown you a curveball that left you confused? Like, God, what is going on here? How does this work? If you're in this situation, what on earth are you doing? The Christmas story reminds us that God is full of surprises, that he doesn't always do things the way that we would like them to be done, and it oftentimes leads to confusion. I mean, there are times where God works, and you're like, man, Lord, thank you for showing up. If you didn't show up, I don't think I was going to make it through that. Lord, thank you for that. And there are other times where you're going, what the heck, Lord? I thought you were a God of love. And I thought you promised to never leave me and forsake me, but I've never felt more alone in my life, and I feel like I'm drowning, and I don't know what's going on. And we get confused. The Christmas story reminds us that it doesn't always make sense. And sometimes we're a little bit confused. When Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, he was spending time with his disciples. He was having the Last Supper. And as he was preparing for that, he did something extraordinary. He wrapped a towel around his waist, and he got down on his knees and proceeded to wash his disciples' feet. Like, the master would never do that, but Jesus did. And if you know the story, it gets to Peter, and Peter's confused by this all. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Like, no, that shouldn't happen. And I love Jesus' response to Peter, and sometimes I think we often overlook the power of what Jesus says to him and the need we need to hear this. This is Jesus' response to Peter. What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward, you will understand. If I had a penny for every time I needed to hear that verse from God, I wouldn't have to worry about a contract for a mansion that was taken care of the rest of my life. If I had a penny that I needed to hear that every time from God. And hear me out. What I'm doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Sometimes that afterward is not going to come in this life. It's going to come when we finally go home to meet with Jesus and we're wrapped in God's loving, warm embrace and we go, oh, I get it. That's what you were doing, God. Sometimes it'll make sense on this planet and sometimes it won't. But Jesus says, what I'm doing now, you don't understand, but you will later. Sometimes following God leads to some confusing things. It can bring up fears and worries and anxieties. And are we going to turn those things into faith and following, or are we going to get consumed by those? That's exactly where Mary is at. She's confused. And she doesn't know what to do because it doesn't make sense. And that leads us to the last point of where Mary moves. She moves from fears and worries and anxiety. She moves from confusion to the last point as she moves to trusting. God, I'm going to trust you. In one of those rare moments in life, Mary gets a full explanation of what's going on, and God explains everything to her. And yes, I'm a little bit jealous of that because I don't always get the explanation. I don't always get the why and what happens. Sometimes we just get the extended hand of God that says, trust me, I've got this, will you follow me? Mary gets the explanation. Mary, God in his great power is going to impregnate you. And because it is from God and by God, this child will be called holy. And I know this sounds impossible, but so that you know God can do this, your relative Elizabeth, who has been barren and unable to have children because she's well advanced in years, is blessed with pregnancy right now. What everyone thought was impossible, God has brought about. And if God can do that for her, he can do this for you. Nothing is impossible with God. And at this point, Mary's fears and her worries and her anxieties and her confusion melt away and they're pushed aside. And Mary has moved from timidity to trust. And she has moved from fear to faith. And she has moved from confusion to following. I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me as you have said. Lord, I'm here. I don't quite understand how this is all going to work, because I understand how people get pregnant and that's not happening, but okay, you do what you want. Sometimes I wish I had the faith and confidence that Mary had. I mean, sometimes I have that. Sometimes, yeah, God's got this. And other times, I can see what the outcome's going to be and I drag my feet. Or I perceive what I think the outcome's going to be and I come up with maybe some alternative solutions for God that I think would be a better plan, right? Because that would be better. God, so hear me out this time. This time, trust me, right? And it's not how it works. And I love when you go on the internet, there's all these great memes that describe to us about our plans for our life and God's plans for our life. And so I thought I'd share some of those with you because I think they're great. First one is great. This is your plan for your life, right? It's smooth. It's simple. It's easy. Look, God, it even goes uphill a little bit, so I'm not cruising through life. I've still got to do a little bit of work. But this sounds like a great plan for my life. I love this. God, let's do this. And then God shows us a drawing and says, well, this is my plan for your life. And you look at that and you think, well, God, that's a little more radical and crazy and confusing and difficult. God, are you sure you don't want to go back to my drawing? My drawing was much more easier. There's not a lot of work that you had to do in that one. It was easier. Your plan looks like the old Atari Pitfall game, and it looks dangerous. I love the third pick because the title is when God says, I've got a wonderful plan for your life. Man, I love that kid because I don't know what's better. His hair is like, whoo, or his expression, or the death grip that he's got on that bar. And the Holy Spirit person is like, whee! And man, if that isn't us to the T. God, I had a plan for my life. It just went a little uphill and it was really nice. And it was like, I've got a plan for your life. It's going to be amazing. So that's where Mary is. She's gone through, she sees the plan, and instead of running from it, she says, okay, Lord, I trust you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. When Jesus was at that Last Supper with his disciples, and they were confused, and they had a lot of questions, he gives us this great reassuring verse in John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, and believe also in me. But Jesus, you're gonna leave us. And what happens if? Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me. You're going to have struggles. You're going to face trials. You're going to face difficult times. And some days are just going to be scary. Don't be afraid. Don't be overwhelmed. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus. Trust him. The Christmas story reminds us, invites us, not just reminds us, to take our fears and our worries and our anxieties and our confusion and to lay those things down at Jesus' feet and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I don't understand it. I can't see how good the outcome is going to be, but I'm going to follow you in faith. The choice is yours. Do you want to deal with your burdens and your anxieties, or are you going to turn that over to him? We all have a plan for our lives. God's plan is better. And I can tell you that from experience, and I've learned that. At the beginning of this, I shared a story with you about David Wilkerson, who was this pastor. And he led this incredible life. He saw God do some amazing things by trusting in him and following him. He saw some of the hardest hearts that you would think, I'm not going to tell that person about Jesus because they'll probably kill me if I tell them. And they ended up the Spirit working in their lives, giving their lives to Christ. And he got to see some amazing things and be used by God. Tragically, his life was cut short in a car accident. He was in a fatal car accident. His wife was with him and survived the accident. And she survived. About a year later, she passed away from a fight with cancer. And I bring that up to give you context of what I'm about to read. Because the morning of his accident, David wrote a post for all his followers and people to write. And I want to read to you the words of a man who was fighting confusion and worry and anxiety, but fighting for faith and for following Jesus. And this is what he says in his last post. To believe when all means fail is exceedingly pleasing to God and most acceptable. Jesus said to Thomas, you have believed because you have seen, but blessed are those that do believe and have not seen. Blessed are those who believe when there is no evidence of an answer to prayer, who trust beyond hope when all means have failed. Someone has come to the place of hopelessness. the end of hope, the end of all means. A loved one is facing death and doctors give no hope. Death seems inevitable. Hope is gone. The miracle prayed for is not happening. That is when Satan's hordes come to attack your mind with fear, anger, and overwhelming questions. Where's your God now? You prayed until you had no tears left. You fasted. You stood on promises and you trusted. Blasphemous thoughts will be injected into your mind. Prayer failed. Faith failed. Don't quit on God. Just don't trust him anymore because it doesn't pay off. Even questioning God's existence will be injected into your mind. These have been the devices of Satan for centuries. Some of the godliest men and women who ever lived were under such demonic attacks. To those going through the valley and shadow of death, hear this word. Weeping will last through the dark, awful nights. And in that darkness, you will soon hear the Father whisper, I am with you. I cannot tell you why right now, but one day it will all make sense. You will see it was all part of my plan. It was no accident, and it was no failure on your part. Hold fast. Let me embrace you in your hour of pain. Beloved, God has never failed to act but in goodness and love. When all means fail, his love prevails. Hold fast to your faith. Stand fast in his word. There is no other hope in this world. God's Christmas story invites us to take our fears and our failures and our anxieties and our burdens and our worries and to lay those down at the feet of the one where nothing is impossible for him. What are you facing? What seems so insurmountable that, like, God, I don't know how we're going to get out of this? And God says, come to me. Lay those burdens down at my feet that I can sustain you. Nothing is impossible with God. And this Christmas and God's Christmas story remind us that God is inviting us through Jesus' birth to turn our fears and our confusion into faith and following. But the choice is yours. As we get ready to go to the Lord's table and wrap this sermon up, the birth of Christ isn't enough to remind you of the power of God and God doing the impossible things, then let the empty tomb and the cross remind you of the power of God to sustain you in all things, to carry your fears and your burdens, and to carry you in the most difficult times in life. He will never abandon you. He will never leave you. He will always sustain you. It won't always make sense. Sometimes there's going to be fear. But I pray that we all, like Mary, would come to that point of faith that say, God, I don't get it all, but I'm your servant. I trust you, and I follow you. Band, you can come on up as I close in prayer, and we'll go to the Lord's table. God, I thank you this morning. Thank you that you are the God that does the impossible. That you didn't give up on Mary with all her questions and go find someone else that would willingly choose. Lord, you stood there and answered her questions and answered her fears, and you proved yourself to her. You proved your love and your power and your authority. And God, we've had different things in our lives that bring up questions, that bring up fears, that bring up worries. And God, some of us today need to hear that whisper that says, it doesn't make sense right now, but it will later. I've got you. God, I thank you for the bread and the juice that we're about to partake of. In it is your power to redeem and to save and to sustain us. Lord, help us to have the faith and the confidence of Mary to say, I will follow you wherever you lead. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.